Actually, we just got a great question about, do you think the CEO should handle the onboarding of the board, or should it be someone for the outside? So I'll give my opinion, then I'll leave it to John and Jim to weigh in. I think it should be an inside job, as it were, and it shouldn't just be the CEO. I think it should be led by the CEO without question, but it should also be an opportunity for other members of senior management to get in front of and know and learn that particular board member. I also believe that other members of the board, the more senior members of the board, should absolutely be involved. There may be times in which you want to bring in an outside counsel to do a training, but I recommend saving those, you know, save your money and do a board-wide conversation about a particular issue, like a fiduciary duty conversation or a conflict of interest conversation. So Jim or John, do you completely disagree with me?
No, I agree. I want to emphasize, it should not be only the CEO. One of the things I'm going to highlight in a minute is, sort of the dictatorial CEO. And if you have a CEO who controls the flow of information too much and basically acts as a buffer between the organization and the board so that no information flows up to the board except through him or her, that's a problem. So having the CFO doing the finance, you know, someone else doing something else. And then I also agree, it's vital to have one or two members of the board to also be involved. John, you're still on mute, John.
All right, thank you. On this the slide on knowing the organization, I think this one is fallen to me. And ongoing board engagement with risk management. This is really not one of the issues that board members maybe most relish doing in the course of the work that they do. Often, I think they want to focus on the positives. I've been to many board meetings where people really only come most alive when it's time to talk about whom to invite on the board, how to plan the next gala, and the fun stuff. And but in fact, it's very important for the board, often working closely with the audit committee. This is often a specific charge of the audit committee to focus on risk planning. And again, the events we've been through in the past year have illustrated maybe more than ever the importance of going through this exercise on a regular basis. I think it's important to assign it as a duty to a committee, probably the audit committee. I think people with a corporate background typically expect it to be the audit committee, to really like try to identify these things. And sometimes they're the elephants in the room and the things nobody really wants to deal with. And here we've listed some of them, whether it's cybersecurity because you've got a lot of data, lean budgets because you have no endowment or your endowment's too small for what you're trying to do, or the fact that you're in a high profile building. I read those three bullet points and I thought, and what if you've got all three, as some clients do? And sometimes it's hard to know where to focus. I think trying to build a framework for board members to talk about these things is important. I think the leadership on this has to come from the CEO too. In my experience of this, that the CEO has the kind of the bully pulpit from which to really cause board members to take the time to focus on these ugly things that they don't care about or don't want to care about.
I'll just interject here, John, and say I really want to emphasize this part. Speaking as somebody who's in-house, if you don't do this, if your staff and your CEO doesn't lead on where the real risks are, the board is going to make them up. And not to say that they're going to make them up out of thin air, but they may, not knowing the organization as well as you do, misidentify or focus on the wrong areas that really don't need the true attention. And so don't leave a vacuum. Really be honest with your board and be straightforward about where the real risks are. Yeah. I've seen folks in the past make the mistake of, again, telling their board that everything's great, we got this under control, nothing to see here, folks. And I think that's really a missed opportunity to engage in a meaningful discussion on how to actually improve the risk profile of the organization.
And I think another thing about the risk issues is that sometimes they're really complex to understand. For example, legal risk. Some organizations have a heightened set of legal risks that can be very abstract and hard to explain. A classic one is the in the trade association world is the world of incorporation by reference and the possibility that many kinds of codes and standards that are adopted by standard setting organizations will be brought into the public domain and no longer enjoy the protections of copyright law. I mean, that's abstract. That requires some real focus to sit down and figure out what that means and where those risks reside and how you address those risks. It's going to be a real process with your board in terms of getting them to the point of being able to really understand those issues. On the issue of preparedness, it's pretty much standard these days for people to have a whistleblower hotline because there are services that provide that. A crisis PR team, so that you've got somebody lined up and ready to go if something bad happens, particularly one that relates to your organization, that is like they are there to help you deal with that bad moment of a, say, a Me Too type incident with the CEO or something.